two, or message number two, I guess, in our new series on Sunday morning called Voices. I hope that you took something home last week from Michael's message, which was the preacher within, something that you could use that's applicable this past week, and something that was relevant to you. We don't, honestly, we don't come in here just to be having church. We want you to get something that helps you week in and week out to be more like Christ, to help you in your walk, to deal with the circumstances and issues of life that we as Christians face. I read this week that Christians are now in the minority in our country. We are less than 48% of the populace. And that's only going to be less and less as time goes on. But I sure got something from last week's message. I listened to it as we were traveling, and Michael said that he was raised as trailer trash, as was I. And but that's just a voice from within that makes you feel inferior because you lived in a mobile home. How stupid. But that's the gist of these messages, is voices that we listen to. The truth is, we listen to a whole lot of voices, and the sad part is we believe them. We take it to heart. How many of you ever heard this voice? I can't. Come on, get your hands up. I can't do it. I can't make the grade. I can't live like this anymore. I can't stay married to this person any longer. I can't put up with this much longer. I just can't deal with it. I can't go on like this anymore. I can't pretend anymore. I can't love him, or I can't love her after what they've done. I could go on and on. I can't believe I'm here this morning, some of you are saying, you know. But I can't, and I could go on and on and on about voices. Now I've got about 8 or 10 questions, and I want everybody to participate this morning, and I just want you to say out loud yes or no to the following questions, and we'll practice on the first one. I often feel there is not enough time to get things done. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, you've got what you're supposed to do. I have a greater capacity than most people around me. I have a greater capacity to get things done than most people around me. Yes. Okay. I feel like everyone is relying on me. People don't realize how hard I work. I feel worn out or tired all the time. It's not important, though, how I feel, because feelings get in the way of finishing. I secretly think poorly of others who need time off. Come on, you bunch of liars, yes. I feel guilty when I take time off. Mark's the only one that, you know. Not. It is challenging to sit still or alone with nothing to do. I feel better when I'm in control of most situations. I'm often impatient when projects or people don't move fast enough. If you answered yes to any of the above, not just any, you are surely going to understand a need for relief. And that the truth be known, we all hear voices of "I can't do it," "I can't live this way," "I can't handle anymore," and "I'm tired, frustrated, defeated, and worn out." The truth of the matter is that your actions and our ire, I answered not one but all of them yes, our actions and emotions are affected by our thinking. Our actions and emotions are affected by our thinking. Somewhere along the way, we have succumbed to the idea that defeated, exhaustion, restlessness is normal. We've come to that idea. We've come also to the idea of high expectations and high achievers wear badges of honor. And over time, between the me that I want to be and the person that I believe others want me to be, it all becomes too much for us. Let me reread that. Over time, between the person, the me that I want to be, and the person I believe others want me to be, becomes too much. It leads to frustration, defeated, and being worn out. Please understand, you will not be able to withstand the grinding pace of defeat from "I can't," from the exhaustion of "I can't live like this anymore," or "I can't continue like this." As a young pastor, youth director, husband and father, in the middle to late 70s, I felt guilt and failure simply resting or relaxing. I didn't even want people to know when I took a vacation or a holiday. I thought they would think I was lazy or I was shirking my responsibility. Voices from without that became voices from within. We hear them from our society. We hear them from our culture. We hear them from our peers, our teachers, our parents, church people. They all speak with voices. They all apply pressures on us. Many can be well-meaning. Some come, though, with selfish motives. Others with good intent. And the truth be known, some with evil intent. We all hear voices. The enemy speaks to you today. The computer speaks to you today. Facebook speaks to you today. The phone speaks. Texting, Twitter. How do we know right from wrong? Good from bad? Which path to follow as young people or older adults? Which road to take? What classes to enroll in? Which vocation to choose? When to say no? Preacher, I can't do it. I can't handle anymore. I can't go on like this. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Been there? Still there? I can't. I've got to get out of here. Voices. Which voice is this? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Whose voice is this? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Where'd that voice come from? Your friends? The person across the aisle? Your boss? Your spouse? The church lady? The pastor? The deacons? Lord, no. They're the ones applying the pressure. The fact is, I can do all things as the voice of God. The fact is, I will give you rest is from the Lord. My yoke is easy. My burden is light is from God. The simple truth is, we listen to the wrong voices. I've had numerous people ask, about what's happening in Florida. Is it going to affect you? Yeah, about 30 miles. And I tell them the exact same thing over and over, and everyone that says I can't, over and over again. I've learned not to worry about what I don't have control over. And if you're worried about something, the voices from without, and you don't have control over your decisions or over your circumstances, then quit worrying about it and tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I don't have to feel defeated. I don't have to feel restless. I don't have to be frustrated. I don't have to be an emotional wreck, because the Lord said, I will give you rest. Now, if you're in a situation that decision will change the circumstances, then you're not doing what your part of that situation is, because the only thing that makes things better in life and creates change is a decision. And some of it may just be a decision that you quit listening to the wrong voices and start listening to the voice of God. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't care what anyone in this room says I can't do this morning. I can't trust Christ as my Savior because I can't live it. I can't because I can't quit doing some of the things I do and be a good Christian. I can't. You can't. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do what I do by myself. I learned a long time ago that I couldn't be a good Christian. You said, but you're the pastor. How do you expect us to be if you can't? I can't. I just, like you, have tendencies that I want to smack somebody every now and then. I want to salute them when they cut me off in traffic. I, in fact, have tendencies, and my wife will tell you, I want to be Richard Petty and just bump and run. I can't control that without Christ who strengthens me with His power to be what I'm supposed to be. From within, He causes my actions to change without. And if you're living a life of frustration, you're living a life of defeat, you're living a life of tired and all the pressure from the voices without, which you all said yes, it's because you're not allowing the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to control your life. You're not praying when you go to meetings, when you face the doctor, when you face the critic, when you face the problem that is bearing down on you, and getting the peace of God that passes all understanding, knowing that whatever happens, happens. You don't control it. God is still in control, and you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I didn't say you understood all things. I said you can get through it. You can deal with it. The simple truth is, we listen to the wrong voices. We do it time and time and time again. And we as Christians do not learn our lesson from experiences that we experience, from circumstances, from the issues, to allow God to take the lead in those situations. Why? Let me back up. How often do you feel better when I'm in control of the situation? What if you were never in control and God was always in control? What if you were never in control and God was always in control? How much more peaceful would your life be? What if you never worried because you're not in control? But God's always in control. Woo! How much more peace would you have? I can tell you exactly how much you'd have. The peace that passes all understanding. Because people don't understand when you're going through the storm and you still act like you just are oblivious to it, because God's give you peace in the middle of the storm. Just think about that. You see, the problem is we get to the place that we listen to external voices instead of the voice of God. Life is not supposed to be a roller coaster of emotions. Oh, now, preacher. No, it's not. We listen to the wrong voices when we let our emotions, because our emotions and our actions are controlled by our thinking. And when we think about what the voices that are external are saying instead of what the voice of God says and what the Bible says to us, then we let our emotions become this roller coaster, and then it is defeat, it is I can't, it is exhaustion, I can't go on, it is restlessness, when God said, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes you need to turn control over to someone other than yourself. Now, I'm not talking about I'm just going to become a blob then and sit on the couch and let God deal with it all. No, you've got to make some decisions. You've got to do. I'll tell you what that looks like. If you don't work, you don't eat. But the fact of the matter is, life is not supposed to be a pressure keg of accomplishment and achievement. Hey, parents. Did you realize some of your kids are never going to be an Einstein? My mom was glad I just got a D. Oh, please let him get through. When you miss 100 and some days of school out of 180 your senior year, they're thankful that she was thankful that they let me wear the cap. All you school teachers take that and wonder how I got out. People wonder, how did you graduate? I don't know, but God does, and He's seen to it. They wanted rid of me, that's why. My mom would let me out the front door, and I'd walk out the back door. Have somebody waiting on with a ride. I hated school. I still get, whenever people mention it, my wife's a teacher. My grandma offered to pay lock, stock, and barrel for me to go to Ohio State and be a veterinarian. And I said, I don't want to go back to school. I even hate going to classes. When I started working construction, I'd get to the front door and think, oh, I don't want to go in. I'm not advocating that. You don't get an education now, you don't get a job. That's just about the way it is. But the fact of the matter is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And life is not supposed to be a pressure keg of accomplishment and achievement. And the truth of the matter is, don't get me wrong, you're not supposed to be Freddy the Freeloader either. Or SpongeBob, you know. Or a failure. But life is to know, get this one, another voice of God, boom, what the perfect will of God is for your life, according to Romans 12:2. What's God got in store for you? His voice that leads your every stage of life. His voice from calling you to trust Christ as your Savior today. I'll promise you, if you're sitting in this room this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I know God well enough to know that He's drawing you to Himself. He wants you to trust Christ, or you wouldn't be here this morning. But the truth of the matter is, it goes from that point that He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to be sure that heaven's your home. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He wants you to be and get an education, to whatever vocation it is, to the ministry that He may call you to which, hey, wait, here's one for you, teenager, to which boy or girl, even to date, instead of letting your hormones and your sex appeal run wild, He wants you to make a decision and to lead you to who to marry. And God has a plan for every person in this room, what your life is supposed to look like and what He wants you to be. And it's for you to discern what that is through His voice, not the external voices from without. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you if you'll listen to the voice of God and spend just a little bit of time in this book. I've had people trying to make huge, masterful decisions, own big businesses, say, I sat down one morning trying to make a decision and just said, Lord, and I can only trust what they said. Trying to make a decision. And he said, I opened my Bible up and right there it was, build. Build. Wow. I've had folks struggling with God's laid it upon their heart that I'm supposed to give. Had a guy one time, was not a member, never seen, the first time I've ever seen him. He said, I don't know why we're here. I don't know why I'm at this church. I don't even attend church. It wasn't here. It's where I was formerly at. He said, I just driving down the road this morning, God said, there's where I want you to go. I felt that urge from the Holy Spirit within. I came here. He said, and what's even stupider than that is while I'm sitting here this morning, he said, he urged me to write this check. $25,000. He said, you all need new buses. That's what God does. Amen. The voice of God will lead you to do some things that you think, this is crazy. I read a story this week of a young man got off at 11 o'clock going home from work. Said God lead him to buy a gallon of milk, turn, and go down a street that was not on his way home. And he said, it's just like my map quest was leading me to a house. I got halfway down the street, and he said, right here, that house on your right. He said, I parked out front, and I walked up to the door, scared to death because it wasn't the best neighborhood. He said, and I knocked on the door. And the lights came on. And he said, there I stood holding a gallon of milk. And I told this gentleman that come to the door with a gun drawn, because he was scared why I was knocking on his door. He said, oh my. He said, we just prayed for milk for the kids in the morning. Now you think about that. There's a God in heaven that'll lead you and guide you with the voice of the Holy Spirit to do the things He wants you to do and be the person you want to be if you'll listen. I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm not talking about an audible voice or writing in the sky. I'm talking about a Holy Spirit that has a still small voice that speaks to your conscience about the things you're supposed to do and the things you're not supposed to do. Voices. If you'll look at those verses, I can. How has it happened, preacher? Through Christ. My yoke is easy. No burden. Rest. How's that happen? Through Christ. It says in Christ. When Jesus has control of your life and you're listening, I wish I could tell you about the emotions of this week. I don't have time and you don't have time to listen. But I laid my head down last night and was asleep. I'm not going to worry about stuff I don't have control over because God's in control. Didn't used to be that way. I heard voices 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. I still can if I let myself. But when it gets that way, God, you got this. And I'm going to trust you with it. Amen. You see, it's not always big faith. You say, but I can't go on. I can. You'll know how. I don't preach about that. Matter of fact, I couldn't find where I spoke about it forever. But Romans 8:28 is still in our Bible. All. Underline that. A, double L. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those that are called according to His purpose. Wait a minute. You mean my sickness? Yeah. I wish I could have Michael stand and testify how many people they got to witness to while they spent time in the hospital. All things. God can take what you're going through. Cindy, you don't have a clue. The people that you're reaching with your testimony. Putting it out there where everybody can see. All things. All. Work together for good to them that love God. And to those that are called according to His purpose. Wait a minute, what's that mean? To those that are saved and secure in Jesus. God will use it. He didn't say all things going to be easy. He didn't say all things going to be rosy. He didn't say all things not going to cause some restlessness. Some grief. But I'll tell you what. If you're saved and secure and doing what you're supposed to be doing, He'll use it for good somewhere to someone in your life. All things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, wait a minute. To what? I'm going to love God no matter what happens. If you're going to get bitter and mad at God, I'm not sure it's all going to work together for good. To them that love God and to those that are called according to His purpose, saved, secure, and serving. Wow. I can't go on. I believe I can, and all things going to work together for good. It's not always big faith, people. It's not always some huge miracle. Sometimes it's just you doing what you're supposed to be doing and listening to the right voice. And I hope that this week, whenever God tells you to buy a gallon of milk, that you'll buy a gallon of milk. And whenever God says, take it to this house, that you'll take it to that house. Now, it may not be something that drastic. It may just be something that your next door neighbor needs you to put your arm around and say, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? Is there anything I can do to pray for you or with you about? All things I can through Christ. You got to realize, though, He's a sovereign God. He's in control, and the issues of life and the circumstances we face should not overwhelm. They should not overshadow He is God and in control and that He loves us and that He will see us through, and that He will teach us something as we go through it. You got to also realize that He won't put more on you than you're able to bear. You say, oh, if you only knew. I do. I hear it every week. He won't guide you where He doesn't provide for you. He won't lead you where the path is not clear. And He will give you the ability to handle what He calls you to do. Yes, you can. You weren't given a heartfelt desire. You were not given a gift or a talent that God didn't want you to use for His glory. You were not given the ability or the personality with not to deal with the experience of what God wants you to use to succumb to, I can't, because you can. You better be trusting God that He can get you through what He's allowing in your life. And you can be used to His glory, for His glory, if you'll continue to praise Him. Just praise Him. You say, that's about the stupidest thing I ever heard. Yep. So was love your enemies. So was give Him your coat to go the second mile. Think about it. Let's stand.